Stand with me, Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Maybe whatever it is that you put in the oven will burn and your husband will take you out for lunch. See how that works? That'll work just fine. In chapter 19, we have called this passage of Scripture the language of heaven. There are things that are going on in heaven that they are glorifying God, praising the Lord over. The words, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, are used through this passage of Scripture. And we looked at that and gave definitions of the word hallelujah, praise the Lord. And we said the reason that this was taking place was because of what was going on in heaven compared to what was going on in chapter 17 and 18. As God has brought judgment upon the earth, He has overcome the enemy, everything will be made right. And now we see the saints in heaven glorifying the Lord, and the perspective of heaven is totally different than the perspective of earth. Just like people today, if you were to have the crowd, the liberal crowd come in and hear girls do 176 verses word for word, they'd say, "Oh, I can't believe that they're making this is terrible." No, this is what we need. And the perspective of learning the Word of God and knowing the Word of God and being in heaven is a lot different than the perspective of what's going on the earth and the judgment that is taking place. So I'll go over that again. But I want to read verses beginning in verse 5. It says this, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants." So one of the reasons that we praise the Lord is because of our salvation. But the other reason I want to preach this morning on the reason that we should praise our God is this, that we are His servants. And these, listen, you're going to serve in heaven, you might as well serve now. "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Father, once again, we are thankful for the teachings of the book of the Revelation, the clarity of the judgment that will take place upon the earth, the clarity of the judgment that will take place against religion, the clarity of the judgment that will take place against the false prophet, the Antichrist, the devil himself, the false religion of the world, the ecumenical idea that permeates even our society now, that will permeate during the tribulation period. And then, Lord, I want to thank you that it's very clear, not only about the judgment, about what is taking place in heaven, that there is rejoicing, there is amening, there is hallelujah, and there's praising the Lord because of what you will do up on the earth, but also that you will bring into judgment all your righteousness and everything that's been done against your people and your gospel, and the things that are righteous and the things that are right will all be made right by you, Lord. And we can praise you even for that today. I pray that we might understand that we can praise you for our salvation, but that we should praise you today because we are your servants. In Christ's name we ask, amen. You may be seated. Chapter 19 is not only the language of heaven, but there is also the element of the worship of heaven. Now, I want to remind you that hallelujah, amen, and praise the Lord are the language of heaven. These are some of the things that we're going to literally say in heaven, amen, we agree with God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, salvation needs to awaken the gratitude of men. And I'm telling you this morning that if you are saved by the grace of God, that you know Christ as your Savior, you have much to say praise the Lord about, you have much to say hallelujah about, and you can say amen to the fact of God's testimonies that are true. But he also begins to mention in verse number 5 and verse number 6, and I turn my attention to these verses because the verses before this is the judgment that's going to come. God judges those that corrupted the earth. He avenges the blood of His servants according to verse number 2. Doesn't it seem like sometimes that we're in the minority? Well, the reason that it seems like that we're in the minority upon this earth is because we're in the minority. We are in the minority. This earth is against us. This world is against us. The devil is against us. The culture of the world is against us. I don't know why we're so surprised by that. But the world does not win. The devil does not win. God wins. And God will bring everything into judgment so that there is the word amen, verse number 4, hallelujah, verse number 5, praise our God. But then he says this, who is it that is to praise the Lord? Who is it that is the one that is able to speak the language of heaven, hallelujah? It is God's people who are saved. That's who it is. The servants of God are to be the ones that are to be saved. As a way maybe of an introduction, I'd tell you about a man named Billy Bray. He lived many years ago in Wales, in the country of Wales. He was a shouter, they said. And people would be uncomfortable sometimes when Billy Bray would begin to shout and say amen and hallelujah. And I'm telling you, we shouldn't be that way. But you know, they were a little bit more reserved. And they said, Billy, you need to calm down. And he would often be rebuked for his language of hallelujah, praise the Lord. He said, I can't help it. He said, God has been good to me. I've been saved by the grace of God. And every step I take, I remember His glory. He said, when I put my right foot down, it says hallelujah. When I put my left foot down, it says amen. And they said Billy Bray would leave the church house shouting as his right foot hit the ground, hallelujah, and as his left foot hit the ground, amen, hallelujah, amen. You know what Billy Bray knew? He knew that God deserved praise for the salvation that He has given us. And I'm just telling you right now, don't be too shy to be able to say, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the residents of heaven praise God for the executing the judgment upon a lost and sinful and rebellious world that, my friend, have turned their back upon God. And God, I want you to know, has made a way for men to be saved. And men don't go to hell unless they go over the grace of God. And they reject the only way of salvation because His judgments are fair, His judgments are right, His judgments are perfect, and therefore we can praise His name. And we need to praise His name this morning, not only because of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, but because of the servants that He allows us to be. Do you realize that servanthood follows us not from this earth, but into heaven, into the millennial reign of Christ? That we're going to be serving in heaven. You say, what does that look like? I don't know, but when the Bible says that servants in heaven are praising God, we understand the definition of the one servant is to serve other people, is to help other people, is to be concerned about other people. And listen, we are, as God's people, not to be knots on a log, but to be servants of the Lord. And the call to praise the Lord comes directly from the throne because God, Jesus Christ Himself. See, it's okay to say God in our culture, but don't say Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is going to be the one that's going to rule and reign upon the earth. And my friend, they're getting ready. The millennial reign of Christ is getting ready. And listen, what you do right now as a child of God is going to follow you into the millennial kingdom. You're going to be a servant. You're going to be given responsibilities because servants are given responsibilities. Oh, by the way, servants don't do what they want to do. Servants do what the master tells them to do. And the devil is the prince and power of the air. And really, today, could we agree that he controls and blinds the men, people today? He blinds them to the truth of the Scripture. But listen, we are his servants, and that is a privilege. Unless we forget, we're serving a God who has already run the war with evil. Thank God the Lord has already won. He will win. He will put down the devil and his people come out on top of this thing. That is enough to shout about. That's enough to say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? Being a servant involves some things. Being a servant, as these people are praising the Lord in verse number 5, praising God, you servants, you fear Him. The multitude of voices were the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thunderings. And they said, these servants, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. To be a servant, therefore, according to the text, involves gratitude, respect, and reverence for the God who has saved us, for the Lord Jesus Christ. What we worship and what we value will dictate where our allegiance will be and how we live. Let me just tell you something, my friend. This church, Jesus Christ died for. The way we look at our church, the way we serve in our church, the way we worship in our church, the way we value our church. Listen, to some people, churches come and go as you please. If I don't like this, no. Listen, you need to understand that a servant, being a servant involves reverence and respect for the Lord, reverence and gratitude for salvation, and to give Him honor and to give Him glory and to worship and value Him. Because He is worthy. And we are just servants. We are not the masters. We are not the one that dictates. Worship involves being grateful. We should be grateful for our salvation. We should be grateful that we get to serve Him. We should be grateful for our church. Now, it's true that gratefulness may seem a very small thing, but it is not to be overlooked. We, even in our country, have a day set aside called Thanksgiving. But the truth is every day for the child of God should be Thanksgiving. Every day for the servant of God should be, Lord, thank You for what You have done for me. Lord, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for salvation. Lord, what would You have me to do? And the Lord will come back and say, worship Me. Respect Me. Honor Me. And listen, you can't respect and honor and worship God if you don't have a church or you're not doing it through a church. Because the Bible makes that very clear. Church is important. Church membership is important. And I want you to understand, the Lord wants to hear, He wants to hear from us. He wants to see from us our gratitude, our respect, our reverence for Him. Just like I look forward to my grandchildren and my children telling me they love me and having respect for their grand. I love that. I mean, they love their grandpa. They come to their grandpa. They say that they love me. I listen. That's what God wants to hear. God doesn't just want your lip service. God wants your heart service. And if it ever dawned on us that the reality of all that Jesus Christ has done for us, and that all that we are able to enjoy as His children, and being a saved child of God, listen, we'd shout till we get hoarse if we really thought about the goodness of God. And you know what the truth is one day we will. According to the text that I read, they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever, verse 4. And the 20 elders, the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne. And they said, amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. Verse 5, praise God, fear Him, reverence Him, serve Him. And listen, my friend, you got to serve Him now. You got to reverence Him now. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of old in England, said, wash your face every morning in a bath of praise. When you wake up in the morning, say praise the Lord. Because you woke up that morning. Worship involves respect. Worship revolves around reverence. I'm telling you right now, my friend, the battlefield for this nation is not, and this world is not as much as terrorism, as much as is a problem of worship. We don't reverence the Lord. We don't reverence His house. We don't reverence the things of God. Church becomes and worship becomes just a plug-in that if I have time and I'm not busy. What we worship, though, and what we value will dictate our allegiance and how we live and how we obey. And what we worship and what we value will dictate our allegiance. Worship involves trusting God. See, a lot of people talk about, oh, I worship the Lord, I respect the Lord, I love the Lord's house, I do this and that, until it comes to trials and tribulations and circumstances that are overwhelming, and then all of a sudden we might lose our respect and we go, God, where are you? He's the same place He's always been. He knows where you're at. And you know what you do in the good times? Worship God, reverence God, praise God. You know what you do in the difficult times? Worship God. Praise God. Say amen to His goodness. I'm telling you, people trust in their job. People trust in their education. People are trusting in those things. And those things are, they can come and go. Listen, people understand, they think they're secure in their job until they lose their job. They think they are secure in their education until their education... your education and your job can't do anything when it comes to circumstances that are overwhelming and circumstances that you have no control over. But worship God in the good times and worship God in the bad times. Why? Because you trust Him. Worship not only involves trust, but it involves obedience. Obedience is the beginning of worship. Worship is not an emotion, it's an obedience. See, sometimes people think worship is, well, running around. No, not necessarily. But in your heart and in your soul and in your mind, there is a hallelujah, a reverence, a praise God. And then, even when the Word of God is... I mean, when those girls were some of those, I couldn't help but say, amen. Now that part right there, I wanted to say, stop, read that again. Because the Word of God is an amen. The Word of God is a hallelujah. The Word of God is to be obeyed. Emotion without emotion without devotion is nothing more than commotion. Because it's okay to be emotional. But listen, it's not okay to be emotional unless you're devoted to what the emotion is giving you. There's nothing wrong with crying, and there's nothing wrong with laughing, and there's nothing wrong with getting excited for the Lord as long as you are consistent in living a daily, godly life for Him. A place for God's servants to worship should be of such character that it'll be easy for men to find God and difficult to forget Him. I'm telling you, when people come into the house of God, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he talked about when people come into the house of God and the singing, let's put it in our vernacular, and the singing and the worship and the praise and the music, it should give honor and glory to God. It should make people say that God is with us. When the Word of God is preached, it's not something of reading the text and then never saying anything about what the text says. It is a preaching of the Word of God. And it is showing people that the Word of God is true, that the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God will do its work. It will convict us. It will do its job on us. It will show us where we're wrong. It'll show us where we're right. It'll show us how to get right. And then it'll show us how to stay right. That's the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. When people come into the house of God, they should understand that they've actually been where God was. Not just emotion. Again, emotion without devotion is nothing more than commotion. True active worship is obedience. It means involvement. Worship for God's servants involves consistency in the good times and in the bad times. I'm telling you, it's easy when everything is going well to say, Amen, praise the Lord, God is so good. But I'm just telling you, if we're real people, if we're real servants, even when we're in a situation we don't understand, we'll still be able to say, praise God, Amen, praise the Lord. Trials and tribulations are never fun as far as I'm concerned when you're in them. Now, when you get out on the other side of them, you're like, whoo, glory. Somebody say amen. They can be difficult. They can be painful. But in our text, listen to what you need to understand. Every person here this morning needs to understand this. Young, middle-aged, and old. Trials and tribulations are difficult and painful. But according to the text, in the end, God will right all wrongs. God will make everything good for His servants. Do you understand chapter 19 is heaven? Chapter 19 ain't the earth. And you know that you can't get to heaven unless you die? Do you understand that? You can't get to heaven without dying except for the rapture. I understand that's a enigma, not a puzzle to us in the sense. It's not a puzzle, not an enigma in the sense that we don't know about it. It's just that every person outside of the rapture of the saints of God, the only way that you can get to heaven is to die. And we're all going to go through that shadow of that valley. Now listen, it's a shadow. And when we come out on the other side, God's going to say, welcome home. And you know what you get to heaven? You know what you're going to do? You know what you're going to do? You're going to say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Worship for God's servants involves consistency in the good times and in the bad times. I want you to understand something this morning, that we serve a God that is a good God. We serve a God. All the saved in heaven will take part in the worship of the Lord. I want you to understand that the Bible teaches us very clearly that when we get to heaven and God sets everything right, there will be amen. There will be praise the Lord. There will be hallelujah. Verse number 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God, and I fell at his feet to worship him. Aren't you glad that God even talks about a supper, that when you get to heaven, you're going to get to be involved in supper time? You know what supper means? It's fellowship. It means this wedding ceremony. And I'm telling you, one of the things that we need to understand, that He loved the church and He gave Himself for it, and therefore it's important. That church and church membership are important to those who do the Lord's work, the Lord's way, and there will be great reward in heaven. And I want you to understand the wedding gown is the righteousness of the saints. And where do we receive our righteousness from? From the One who saved us? From the One who bought us? And I want you to understand something this morning. We have a lot to be thankful for. And we should be grateful for our salvation. And we should be servants. And servants obey. And servants do. Many times in the Bible, the word servant is synonymous with the word slave. Paul used that many times. I want you to understand in that context that a servant or a slave never said to his master, I think I don't want to do this. And neither should the servants of God say, I don't think I want to do this. Because if the Bible is clear on it, we should do it. And we should love His church. We should love His ways. And we should be obedient. Now, are we always obedient? No. We're wicked. And we need to repent of where God shows us and where God convicts us. and hide the Word of God in our heart, that I might not sin against Him and come to the Lord, and He is faithful and just to forgive me if I come to Him and I ask for forgiveness and I'm serious about it and I repent of it. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you understand God is so good to us? And there's nothing wrong with emotion. I love emotion. I'm getting nervous about people who never show any emotion. Because when it's time to cry, cry. When it's time to laugh, laugh. But when it's time to say amen, say amen. When it's time to praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When it's time to say hallelujah, say hallelujah. Because we are a people that have been blessed. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, we don't know everything that all these saints have gone through. Many of them have been martyred for the cause of Christ during the tribulation period. Do you understand that during the tribulation period there are men and women and boys and girls who will stand true to the Word of God, but yet the culture will say, listen, you need to go along with the ride. You need to take the mark of the beast. You need to do what the Antichrist says. You say, and they said, no, we cannot do that. We only have one person that we serve. You see, the world says that today. Now listen, you don't need to go to church all the time. You don't need to really give your money to the church. You don't need to really tithe. You don't really need to give the missions. Oh, come on. You need to understand that you don't need to go to church all three times a week. You don't really need to do this. I mean, come on, man. No, you say, no, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to say amen. And you think about the people during the tribulation period and all that they went through and all of the judgment of... Listen, whenever there is war, there's always casualties. Have you ever heard of the word friendly fire? Even people that get in the line that were not the target of the war, if you would, are killed. There's going to be many people that are going to be killed during the tribulation because of their testimony of Jesus Christ, and we've looked at that, but there'll also be people that die because there's no food to eat, because of the wars that take place, because of cities being annihilated. But God's people can still say, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, salvation, and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore that corrupted the earth with her fornication. He hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah! And the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants. Did you hear what I said? Praise ye God, all ye servants. And fear God. So listen to me this morning. Obey. Have reverence. Have reverence. Obey. And worship. Because He is worthy. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed. Lord, I pray this morning that we might understand that You are a gracious God and a good God, and that You have brought salvation to man, that You have given man an opportunity to be saved from his sins. But Lord, they can't come just any old way. They must come with faith, repentance toward God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They must be willing to lay everything aside and come to You and You alone. And then, Lord, we are thankful for the language of heaven that we read of salvation and glory and honor and reverence that goes to You. And God, I pray that we might understand that it is hard maybe in our sinful fleshly nature, but yet we can in our spirit that has been saved, we can worship You. We can say amen. We can praise the Lord. We can be obedient. We can have worship. We can have reverence to the things of God, to the church of God, to the Word of God, to the Savior who saved us. Oh God, I pray this morning that we would lay aside our sinful nature, if you would, that we would die to sin, that we would die to the flesh, because, Lord, we can't worship and we won't have gratitude and we won't be thankful unless we're able to do just that. But, Lord, one day in heaven, oh my soul, according to our text, they'll be praising and worshiping like never before. God, help us. Help us as the creatures that we are to worship You and be obedient and to serve You the days of our life. And Lord, we might understand, may we understand that what we do now will follow us for all of eternity. Not just to the grave, but through all eternity. And if we don't serve You now, we will not be given a place of service later on as well as we could. I think of our text in the book of Judges on Samson and how his life was wasted and how he could have done so many great exploits for God, but he chose the flesh. He chose, he squandered his life. And Lord, my prayer is that the people of Berean Baptist Church would not do that, that they would worship, praise, serve, glorify, honor, respect the things of God, the house of God, the church of God, the Word of God, and the Savior who saved us. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. 508 we're going to sing. I think it's a great song, appropriate. I will serve Him. I will serve Him.